did say we're bringing Shah to words. Can't promise that. So God's good. God's good. He's given me an extra 10 minutes, so that's really, really good. And just all the songs that we've been singing and the prayers that have been prayed have just really laid the foundation of my talk very nicely. So over the last couple of weeks, you will have noticed, hopefully, that we've had a theme to our talks, and it's been Psalm 23. And we've covered, well, Katie Ann started on verse 5, I think, wasn't it? But Sue last week did verse 1 and 2, and I am doing verse 3. But I want to just take us back to verse 1 and read through to verse 3 just to give you a reminder. So is that up on the screen? It will be in a moment, I'm sure. There we go. So the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. And that's what I'm going to be focusing on this week. He refreshes my soul and he guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. But before I do, I just want to do a little recap of what Sue said last week, because there was some really good stuff in it. I have not got loads of PowerPoint and funny video clips and stuff that Sue had last week. So I'm sorry about that. It's just me, but there you go. So last week, Sue talked to us about what a good shepherd does and how they know their sheep and how they can recognise individuals and how their job is to guide, protect and supply for their needs. And you know what I really loved at the end when she shared? That we don't need to know where our next green pasture is. I thought that was amazing because it brought me such peace. I don't need to worry about where I'm going next or what's coming next because God's got it in control. You know, the knowledge that my shepherd Jesus is already looking at my next field of pasture is amazing. He's in control and he has my best interest at heart. I just need to be listening and following. And the trouble we all too often have, we are like that one sheep that wants to jump the fence and go off the beaten track. We tend to want to be in control of our own needs. And you know, and that suits us really fine when things are going the way that we planned and everything is hunky-dory. But it's when things go wrong and don't go the way we planned that we get that rub, don't we? It comes and it ruffles our feathers. And that's when we will experience all different kinds of emotions like panic, frustration, anxiety, fear, anger. Yet, as we've just been singing, if we truly believe God's promises and apply them to our lives and we trust that our shepherd is guiding us when the unexpected does come, our first response should always be, "What now, Jesus? Where are we going?" As the shepherd leads and guides the sheep, so Jesus leads and guides us. And as the shepherd protects the sheep, so Jesus protects us. And as the shepherd supplies the sheep's needs, so Jesus supplies our need. The knowledge of that should bring you immense peace and joy. It does in my life, even in the storms and battle. And yet, how often we forget this. So, in verse 3, let's move on a little bit. It says he refreshes my soul. If we seek Jesus every single day in all that we do and in all circumstances, he will refresh our soul. He will replace our anxiety and worry with peace and calm. He will replace our anger with forgiveness. He will replace fear with confidence, confidence that he is in control. And no matter what we face, that he'll supply our needs. But it has to be a daily practice. We need a daily reminder of who Jesus is and what he can do for us. But why do we need that daily reminder? Well, firstly, I want to say it's because we live in a world now that I believe is so incredibly noisy. I would go as far as to say it's probably the noisiest time it's ever been in history. Things are happening on the other side of the world, like Australia or New Zealand, wherever. And they get reported here in the UK within minutes. Minutes. It can be on the news, it can be on our social media within minutes. We no longer just have the knowledge of what's happening in our little cul-de-sac or on our street or in our little town. But every day we're fed news from around the world. So much noise about things, actually, that we have very little control over or can do anything about. Except maybe pray. And yet those news stories can cause so much upset and distress and distract us, actually, from listening to the Holy Spirit's promptings. It's a lot of noise that can cause a lot of distraction. On top of this, we now have the wonderful social media and that amazing little handheld device that we all have come to depend on. We now have the ability to post online our thoughts and our opinions, whether they're true or not, and people do in their millions. So many so-called influencers which gather huge followings and they can influence thousands without any authority. Who are you listening to? Whose voice is filling your head? And then now, this year, we have AI, which brings a whole new dimension to what we see online, to the point where you start to question, is that real or is it AI? I don't know anymore. We need to remind ourselves that there's only one truth in this world that we need to focus on, and that's Jesus. And there's only one book of truth that we should be reading, and that's the Bible. Now, there are some amazing Christian apps, tools and resources and preachers online. So I'm not saying you can't go online and you can't go on social media. But what I am saying is, how often do you check and verify who you are listening to? If we fill our minds with the noise of the world, listen to the wrong voices, it will drown out what God is trying to say to you and you will not be refreshed. I am constantly amazed these days how people, and I'm included in this, but I'm not being judgmental here, just struggle to sit still and be. Without good boundaries and good practices, our brains become so used to the noise that we actually struggle to handle being still and quiet. Let me give you an example, okay? If you had an appointment and you had to wait maybe 5-10 minutes in the waiting room, what would be the first thing you do? Is anybody like me? Would you be getting your phone out? We would, wouldn't we? We'd be getting our phone out. We wouldn't sit there and maybe pray to Jesus or have a conversation with the person sat next to us. We'd get our phone out and we'd put our blinkers on and we're just looking at what we're looking at on our phones. But why is that so? Has life become so fast that the very action of just sitting still and doing nothing for 5 minutes feels so wrong? How do we get to this point? It's like our brains are addicted to doing something. And yet, without allowing daily time in our life, practicing just being quiet with our shepherd, how can we ever hope to be refreshed, to hear his voice, and to hear his instructions for our life? And we wonder why so many people are struggling with anxiety and ill health. If a sheep becomes ill, then the shepherd will tend it back to health. And that's exactly what Jesus can do for us. When we become emotionally, mentally, and spiritually unwell, we need our shepherd Jesus to restore and refresh us. But we can only get that by spending time with him. So what happens when we do find ourselves lost or in a place that we know we shouldn't really be? Well, when a sheep goes off the beaten track and gets lost, the shepherd will search for him and he'll bring him back to safety. When we go off our track in our lives and things go wrong and we make wrong choices or we're distracted and we find ourselves lost, it will be because we've stopped listening to Jesus' voice. We'll have stopped looking for him. We'll have got distracted on something else. When an unexpected curveball comes at us out of the blue and it smashes us off course, then our first shout should be for Jesus. You know, he never stops seeking us out. It's us that stop seeking him. In Luke 15, verses 3-7, I'm not going to read that all out. It's going to come up on your screen, but I'm not going to read it all out. But basically, Jesus will leave the 100 to search for the one. If we are struggling in any areas of our lives, then we have to ask ourselves, are we seeking Jesus in that area? Are we applying his promises to it and trusting him to guide us down the tightest of paths without stumbling or falling? When we do apply faith, when we do seek Jesus, our souls are refreshed and restored. We are calmed and we grow in confidence as our shepherd leads us back to safety along the right paths. So the next part of the verse says, for his name's sake. What does that mean? Well, in Bible times, a person's name represented their reputation and character. God stakes his reputation on caring for his flock. He doesn't look out for us because we've earned it. He does it because that is who God is, a loving, protective father. Jesus wants to lead us down righteous paths, not only for our own sake, but so we can demonstrate to others the goodness of God. It's not just about us, folks. It really isn't. Everything Jesus did is for God's glory. When he blesses us with good homes, with jobs, with food, it's not to demonstrate our wealth, but to demonstrate God's provision. And how often we sit there proud of our achievements. But actually, if we're following Jesus and we're on the right path, our achievements should always be accredited back to God. That's why we ask every week, does anyone have anything they want to give thanks to God? And everyone sits there like that. But we should be praising God for everything in our lives. As Christians, we'll be watched by our families, by friends, work colleagues, neighbours, and they will be looking to see how we deal with life. Are we applying our faith? Are we showing peace in the storm? Do we look like we're being guided and led? Or do we look like we're huffing and puffing and pulling at the reins? They will be looking to see if this Jesus we proclaim as Lord is really affecting our lives. Is Jesus someone they could follow? Is he worth following? Or do we seem no different to them? Do we look weary with our lives, pulling a heavy burden behind us? Or do we look like we're confidently being led by a guide that knows the way? Do we honour God in our actions and reactions and conversations? Do we bring him glory? Jesus wants to restore our souls daily because that will affect our behaviours and our views on life. It'll affect our reactions to situations and our conversations, and in turn that will bring honour and glory to God. If a shepherd can't get his sheep to follow him, his reputation is ruined. And the same applies to Jesus. If we don't choose to follow his guidance, to trust in his promises, to seek shelter in the storm through him, then his name has no weight. And excuse the pun here, but our faith has no hook to cling on to. I don't know about you, but I want to stay in the shepherd's protection and I want to bring him glory. But you know, there's so many wolves out there in many different disguises that can lead us astray and affect our behaviour, especially if we're not following our shepherd and seeking his protection and guidance every day. And I'm going to bring up three examples. Now, there's loads of examples out there, and you'll all have your different wolves, and you need to be speaking to Jesus and asking him, what areas do I need to be protecting myself from? But one of the first ones I've picked on is social media, because it's such a big part of everybody's lives. Yet it can be filled with, it's a field full of lies, negativity, discouragement, and completely unrealistic. You know, you see all these happy, smiling faces and people seeming to lead the perfect life, but it's just a snapshot in time. We can all stand there and go like that, look at me. But what else is going on behind the scenes? You know, but people believe that, oh, they've got the perfect life. None of us have. And I'm not saying that all social media is bad. I'm not. But going back to what I said earlier, are you monitoring what you're watching? Are you applying boundaries and wisdom, moderation and time constraints? Are you watching and reading healthy stuff that will give you new skills and enhance your well-being? How often have we heard of people taking their own lives because of things that they've read and seen online? It's awful. It's a very real and dangerous wolf that feeds insecurities. Don't get your self-worth from online or compare yourself to any others online. You get your self-worth from Jesus, your shepherd, and you listen to what he says about you instead. Remember, Jesus wants to restore you. He will never bring you down, ever. Another area that I wanted to look at, because it is such a big thing, especially for the youth and for any, well, even for people of working age. So those of you that are blessed enough to have been retired, or, you know, I wouldn't say blessing if you've got a health condition, that's not quite the word, but if you're not able to work, this don't really apply to you, so please forgive me. But for the rest of us that have working age, being out of work is incredibly stressful. Trying to find a job these days can be really, really hard and demoralising. and being in the wrong job can be really hard. Not being able to follow your chosen work path can bring frustration and resentment. Being made redundant can bring fear and anxiety. And yet the Bible tells us in Jeremiah, I think you'll put it up for me, Jed, if you will. I've not got it written down here. There you go. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. This is what God said to the Israelites, okay? And he was talking to the Israelites who were stuck in slavery. We heard that earlier in the year. We've gone through that this year. With no freedom and in awful conditions every single day. And yet God still had plans for them. And it's a promise that we can stand on today. God wants to bless us so we can glorify his name. Remember, it's a promise. Seek Jesus in all situations and he will guide you down the right paths. We've heard about Tina last week, or the week before, maybe, the week before. I wasn't here last week, was I? We've heard about Tina being made redundant and then securing an even better job. Amazing. My son James got degrees in graphic design. And, you know, trying to secure a job has been really, really hard. He went that hard, he then decided to go and do a master's. Well, I'll get more qualifications because that'll make it even better. And he got a master's in social media marketing and video editing. Could he get a job in that field? No. And with the rise in AI, there's even less chance of a securing job in that field. But, you know, God provides a way when no way seems possible. And James is now working for an international company in a secure role within recycling, learning new new skills with a view to progress up through to management level eventually because of his degrees. Nothing is wasted in Jesus. The hours and the money are good, and he enjoys working within a good team. And me and some really faithful church family members, we prayed continuously for James until we saw answered prayer. Sue mentioned last week that the shepherd knows his sheep, the families and the offspring of the parents. And this is the same and true of Jesus. He sees our children and he yearns for their hearts as much as ours. Now, I could have been down and lacking in faith and frustrated for James, but I chose to believe that there had to be a better path for him. And I, along with others, we sought out our shepherd and we prayed. And I was able to confidently say to James, God's got a plan. Trust him and things will work out. And he knew we were praying. And do you know who that job came through of all people? Mark and Linda's son-in-law. God's so good. He opened a door. Nothing ever gets wasted and everything should point back to Jesus. And I believe because we involved him in prayer, we are now honouring God in that job for James. So if you're stuck out of work, if you're trying to find the job and you can't find one, hold on there. Pray. Get other people in church to pray with you. Pray into it and trust God to provide a way. Don't get down. Don't get disheartened. Don't believe you're no good. Don't believe all that rubbish that comes with that and the guilt of not getting a job. Trust what Jesus says to you. Trust in his promises. And another area that I wanted to look at, which can bring many wolves, is relationships. We're all in relationships with someone, whether that be our spouses, whether it's children, siblings, friends, neighbours, colleagues, bosses, local businesses that we go into regularly. We build relationships with people, we do. We all handle multiple relationships, some are easier than others. But here's a question for you. Thinking about all your relationships. Are we affording the people that we are in relationship the same love, grace and forgiveness that our Lord Jesus affords us? Relationship can be one of the toughest battlefields because we have no control over other people's actions and reactions. We only have control over ourselves. And I can categorically guarantee, standing here, that at some point in your life, you will be let down by somebody else's actions and reactions towards you. And it will hurt, and it may anger you, and it will cause frustration. But when this happens, the most important thing is how we respond. And if you're not being daily refreshed in what Jesus wants to do and having your soul restored, you will respond in the wrong way. Do we go with our first humanly fleshly response? Because every part of our flesh will want to respond. Believe me, it will. You'll be holding it back. And you'll feel very justified in responding. Or do we pause and breathe and seek out our shepherd for wisdom and truth in how we respond? You know, there's a very old saying, isn't there? My nana used to say this, count to 10. One, two. Yeah, that came into practice a lot with the boys when they were growing up. Count to 10. Okay, and it's important because it gives you that chance to just step back and just go, right, how would Jesus respond in this situation? If you feel, let me just find the right way. All right. It's very important that in all relationships we're seeking Jesus for guidance. If you feel something isn't right in a relationship, then I would say that you're listening to a prompt from the Holy Spirit, because not all relationships are good and healthy. They really aren't. And I'm not saying that we should all, in all our relationships, they should all be good and healthy. What I'm saying is that we should be looking how we are, looking at our reactions and looking and seeking out Jesus. And sometimes we will get it wrong. We will react badly. And I have in the past. I remember throwing a pan at Ray once. Did you hear them all? There was a, I did. I threw a pan at Ray once. I have to say, I was heavenly pregnant and very hormonal. But what was important is how quickly I realised I'd acted badly and I apologised. I'm sorry. And an apology goes a long way. It really does. And one of our abiding scriptures here at Carmel is, where there is unity, God commands the blessings. Being in unity in all your relationships is important, and it reflects Jesus' heart. But as I was just saying before, there may be a time when you need to walk away from a relationship for self-preservation. And if you can honestly say that you've sought Jesus' guidance, you've attempted reconciliation, and you've apologised with a good heart, and unity still can't be restored, then I would say you are free to walk away. But always leave the door of reconciliation open. Jesus never shuts the door on us. Never close that good door for good, because you never know what can happen in the future. And it's not our place to judge. It really isn't. You know, if we start judging people, then we allow bitterness into our hearts. We have to forgive. Let God do the judging. It's not our place. And relationships can be a blessing. And our two-way things. And Jesus showed me very early on in my walk that when I actually put him first, all my other relationships are enhanced and benefit because I'm made different by him. Don't ever exclude Jesus from your relationships. It will give you wisdom and skills to manage them well. And if we do that, then we'll honour Jesus' name and be demonstrating glory to God. So our shepherd is agile and wise. He sees the wolves and he knows how to defeat them and avoid them. But we have to be listening to his commands. We have to be spending time around him and following his lead. And this means time in prayer, reading and listening to the Bible, singing worship songs to encourage our hearts and souls, and being part of a church family, the flock, that is also listening to the same shepherd. Together, we build his name, his reputation, and we bring honour to him and glory to God. So to conclude with David's words again, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Take those scriptures away and spend some time each day reminding yourself of the words written and what they mean to you personally. Let's just pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for those words written by King David over 3,000 years ago, and how even now, all these years later, they are still relevant to us in our walk with you. Lord, I pray we all seek that restoration of our souls that David talks about, and that the way we live our lives will bring you honour and glory. Thank you for guiding us and never allowing us to be so lost that you can never find us. We honour and thank you this morning, Lord Jesus, for being our good shepherd. Amen. Thank you.